Level 321.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
You were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Okay.
Hold on.
It's the Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the show, then go direct to DLFGS.org. And ICChallengeLinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
I left the V off the wave for your pleasure, Joel. Welcome to episode 998 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show today, we have Pat.
Almost April.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here this time.
And it's almost Joel's birthday, but it's his son's birthday today.
That's correct.
We got April 4th, right?
April 4th is mine. When's Al, Alan's?
April 1st.
It was already.
I believe he's April 1st.
Okay.
Wow. Got it going on.
Birthdays. Yep.
You know what, though? You know what's not going on?
I don't
know. I'm kind of losing my infatuation with this Ubuntu system here.
Oh.
It's got some little issues that, bug me, and I'm not sure what. So this weekend we went away to GalaxyCon in Richmond, and we stayed overnight Saturday night in Richmond, and I'll get to GalaxyCon in a little bit, but since I'm technically like always on call, particularly if there's a problem with Couchbase, I took my work laptop with me, and when I went and plugged it back in Monday morning and logged in for work, it wouldn't accept my password.
Uh-oh.
So I was getting really frustrated, and so this is what I absolutely hate about OS X, and our security settings that they kind of put on is that if you have like 5 minutes of inactivity, it automatically goes into this, locks the screen. So I have I don't know what you call it. It's not really a,
jiggler
docking station. It's just this little port replicator thing.
Okay, like a USB-C dock thing.
Yeah, and it's got HDMI out on it. And
or Thunderbolt, I should say. Yeah.
And so I have my other monitor plugged into that. And whenever the screen locks and I go to unlock it, it does this weird thing where it pops open. And there's the login. And then about 2 seconds later, it flashes. And everything disappears. And then for like 3 seconds, it's blank. And then it comes back. And then it goes away. And then it comes back. It's like trying to readjust and account for that other monitor that's on.
Huh.
And it's so freaking annoying. Because it comes up and I start typing in my password. And then it flashes, it comes back, and then, like, my password is pretty darn long. So, it's like a third of the length of the password that gets typed in there. I don't know what third it is, right? So that's annoying to begin with. Every single freaking time the screen locks.
Huh.
But I went in, and so we have to change our password, like, every 2 or 3 months, I forget what it is.
90 days.
And then they have this tool that you do it, and it's supposed to sync up with the Active Directory password, supposed to sync up with the OS X user password, and that's all supposed to work perfectly. And 80% of the time it does. It's just that other percent of the time that's just a monumental pain in the ass because I don't notice it. Like, cause I always have my system on, I don't really restart it or shut it down. But, so this time, I could have sworn I've restarted it in the past and my password always worked and it wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And then it locks me out. I was like, you can try again in a minute. And I try again in a minute and then it locks me out again for 5 minutes. And then it locks me out again for 15 minutes. So I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs and I'm like, I'm probably going to have to get support. But it's a pain in the ass to get support because you technically kind of need to be on the system to contact them to get support. Because I never really do it outside of not being on the other. Well, anyway, after a while, it tells you if you are having trouble logging in, just shut down the machine and boot into recovery mode and change the password. I'm like, what the fuck kind of security is that? Right? If that's the solution. So I thought maybe it was that it never updated from my old password, right? So I started trying my old password and that didn't. And then I'm like, well, maybe it didn't update from two passwords ago because I've had that happen to me before.
Oh.
And that didn't work. And then of course I'm locked out again for 5 minutes. But what cheesed me off more so is that I have a file that I have on my system down here that gives me hints to what my previous passwords were. And I came down here to look at that and because I didn't remember what order my passwords were. I knew what the other, like the last three were, but I just didn't remember what the order was. And sure enough, it was on my old hard drive. So I'm like, not a problem, because I have the old hard drive right here, connected to this external USB hard drive, IDE, or SATA, IDE, whatever, PATA controller, does them all. And I plug it in, and I stick it in there, and nothing happens. And I'm like, what the hell? This hasn't been a problem. Like, it was working last week when we were doing the show. Why is it not working now? So I unplug it, plug it back in. I'm checking D message. I see it's coming in. It recognizes that it's there. It's showing me that there's partitions on it. It's just not mounted. I can't mount it. I'm getting pissed off. So I go, after a few minutes of this, I go and I plug it into my other machine, which is running Arch. I use PMount and I get in there, I look at my passwords. Anyway, what really frosted my ferret was going back to the Mac when I did it. Like, I wasn't able to get in. So I shut it down and it booted back up in recovery mode and asked me to put my password in and I did and then asked me for a new password and I put in a new password and then I rebooted. And I'm like, how come it's accepting my password here, but it's not accepting my password when I log in? So I start off with having some problems with the new password. And so what I did, that didn't work either, right? Like, I went back in and I used my new password, which worked, to set it back to my old password. And then when I rebooted that time, when I booted back up, I was able to get in. So I don't know what the hell's been going on with that. It's really cheesy.
Weird.
Really. So anyway, back to the Ubuntu thing. Like, I tried again a little bit later and it just wouldn't mount the devices. And it just really upset me. So I plugged it in here tonight. And, you know, right when we were getting the show set up, and I was waiting. And for some reason, when I plug it in, it takes like a minute and a half before it automatically allows me to be able to access it, which wasn't a problem to the best of my knowledge before, and I never had that issue before on systems that I did enable the automatic. So there's that, and just also some other little things that kind of like just, I don't know. Like XFCE4 won't work, and it's just pain in the ass.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Maybe now, maybe when 2304 releases, you can load the now official flavor of Ubuntu, the Cinnamon desktop version.
You know, I thought about that, but you know what I said? I said, you know what? This is what I might do, right? I'm going to get, when I get that hard drive, I think I might do a distribution that I've never used before. And that would be Manjaro. I know it's Arch-based,
but
I'm just curious, you know? If it's good enough, isn't that what the Steam Deck uses, Manjaro?
I don't know for sure. I think so, maybe.
The flavor of Arch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's Manjaro specifically.
I mean, I really love Arch. And, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I love Arch, and Arch is wonderful. And I have it on two of my systems.
Oh, do you run Arch?
I do. I have Arch on two systems. And part of me is like, I'd like to run something different than just having like all the same operating system, like all the same.
Run Garuda.
What's Garuda?
It's Arch.
No.
Oh, another Arch
you know,
flavor?
I'm either going to do, like, I'm probably going to do Manjaro or maybe XFCE. Although I have, not XFCE, SUSE. Although I do have SUSE on this machine over here that I play the audio.
Right. Well, the one interesting thing, because I did do an install of a daily build of 2304 with the Cinnamon desktop. And one interesting thing is it actually doesn't install a web browser by default.
Oh, don't so you can't why. Use it. You don't have a web browser to go and search for Chrome to install a web browser?
Exactly.
did you say you installed?
The Cinnamon version of Ubuntu 2304. I did it in the VM, and so I didn't get to play around with it too much, mostly because the one thing I discovered was if you load the VirtualBox extensions, it literally will just hang and take in not boot all the way. Not exactly sure why, but, you know, maybe because I'm on VirtualBox, I loaded VirtualBox 7 on the machine that I was using, which is my Windows machine. So, I might go ahead and make the jump early since a 2304 Lunar Lobster is the next version. Its release is next month. So it's not, we're not that far away from the release. So I might try it and then try installing the Cinnamon desktop on top of it. Cause it's in the official, Ubuntu repos according to OMG Ubuntu right now. But it's easy enough, though, to get around it. You can just do an apt install of Firefox and get that, and then you can go and get the stuff you need to put Chrome on it if you really want Chrome. So, but it doesn't have a web browser by default, which I've kind of found an interesting choice. But Cinnamon's fairly lightweight anyway, so, you know, it might be something to try if you're on older machines. And if you've been a Linux Mint user, you already know what it's like. But it's kind of interesting that this late in the game, the Cinnamon Remix team was able to make it official. This with this coming release.
That's cool.
I've used Cinnamon before. Probably the biggest difference is the Ubuntu version is these kind of the standard Ubuntu-ish colors, and not the Linux Mint colors. So it's not green.
A couple other things too. I mean, apps, yeah. Flatpaks.
Right. Yeah, you get all the love that is being an official Ubuntu distro.
So no flatpaks, but there's snaps.
Right.
And if you were running Mint, there would not be any snaps.
No, he didn't like them.
It's not that he didn't like snaps. It's that he didn't like the fact that Ubuntu didn't allow you to choose snaps.
Well, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, that's been some of the weird things I've noticed with Ubuntu as of late with the snaps, is that stuff that has both regular devs to install and snaps. When you're looking in the store, not that I look in the store too much, you know, every once in a while I will, you know, I'll do it, you know, when new releases come around, I'll try and install something out of there. And when you go in there, if you search for something, you'll see the application twice. You'll see the Flatpak version, and then you'll see...
Oh, no, you won't see the Flatpak anymore.
Well, that's going to change in the next release.
That's kind of my issue. You know, I could deal with it once. They thought that snaps were great, whatever. But when you tell all of your, sub-distributions, official flavors... that they can't include something if they want to continue to be called an official flavor, then...
Right.
I don't know. That seems a little heavy-handed.
Well, it also, you know, their little app store thing, which is just a front-end app, you know, let's just call it what it is. That, you know, when you search for it and you see an application in there twice, it's just a little confusing.
Yeah, it's not... It is a front-end app, but then again, it's also a front-end of Snap.
Yes. So, but you get both versions. Like, if I searched for Firefox in the past, anyway, you get both. You know, you get the opportunity to pick which version you want. And it wasn't always clear which version was which.
Yeah.
They both just called themselves Firefox. You know, if you're trying Firefox.
You know what I don't like about this is that I'm on it right now. I'm in that little graphical app store, whatever it is they call it. And when I search for Firefox, do you know what my first result is?
It's a plug-in, I think, if I remember right.
It's Mozilla VPN.
Ah.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
Firefox is not second, that's GS Connect, is not third, it's UGET. It's not fourth, it's BleachBit. It's not fifth, it's KDocker. It's not sixth, it's BleachBit again. Oh, the first one was really...
just a series of ads first?
I don't know, it's just...
They're not ads.
It's the seventh one down, and it informs me that it's a snap, and it also informs me that it's installed, because I have the option to remove it. So, I could get... And then
mine doesn't say that it's a snap. Mine says that it's installed. That's all it says. And then mine's the fifth one down in Mozilla VPN's the first one. Joplin Arnaceous, which is a open source note taking and to do app. Yeah, I don't use that. Firefox Kiosk. Orange SoundCloud client for Linux. And then Firefox. Then after that, Download Accelerator. And then Red, YouTube Client for Linux, which I didn't know I needed. But anyway.
YouTube Red?
It says Red YouTube Client for Linux.
Yes, so the program, that's after. I see that too. Now, what is also weird is when I go over to web browsers, I do not see.
You don't see Firefox
at all.
That's strange.
Like,
This is why I don't like to use this stupid store. And would just like rather to search Synaptic and find the package if I want a graphical front end or just do an apt install.
Rather not install Ubuntu.
Well, yeah. But and other thing I noticed too, and this is actually a comment because about the installer, which the installer is now Flutter based, so it's a new installer. And really, it doesn't feel that different than the old installer, which is a good thing. But one of the things that I wish that Ubuntu especially would have is like an advanced option. So like, say for example, you want the desktop, but you want to install DKMS, which is the kernel module. Basically, it solves everything you need to build kernel modules. All right. Or maybe install Apache at the same time as the install. No, you can't do any of that. You know, I don't even think you can do that on the server version, although I haven't tried the server ISO lately. But so it would be nice to – that's the one thing I always liked about the old Anaconda installer that Red Hat used and then Fedora after that was that you can select some packages – at install time. In fact, you literally could. Once you picked everything once, you can like plug in the thumb drive before it actually does the install and then expat, what you picked, and do, I forget the name of it. There's a special install that will read that file on there. And just install everything. It basically kind of like imaging a laptop. I forget what it was called. I want to say Bootstrap. That's not it. I'd have to do some Googling. But it's like allow me to shorten my install time and my setup time by installing things that are already in the repos. Yeah, and don't make that a default. Make that an advanced part of the installer so that I can get done quicker with what I want. But I guess that's what Ansible's for, right?
Now I haven't gone through an official Ubuntu install in years.
Right.
Because I usually just upgrade. And maybe that's part of my problem with this system.
Like, could be.
It's a possibility. It's going from multiple systems.
Yeah, I was gonna say they make some drastic changes every once in a while, so it might be worth pulling out all the cruft and just doing a fresh install. I hate to say that, but sometimes it's worth it.
when you I don't know if it's just in the setup, in the installation, and whether it's maybe it's an advanced option or not. But if you go into the software settings. The settings for that software store, for Discover, I guess is what it's called.
Right.
You could choose, like mine had the default source was Ubuntu repositories and
right.
The option to make Snap the default. So
Now,
according to this Discover, there isn't an option to install Firefox other than the Snap.
Okay.
So
for some things that this app makes sense. I think it actually makes a lot of sense for Firefox. Even Chrome could do that too, for that matter. But
yeah, and it's not, you know, I'm not opposed to using Snap, but I guess it depends on what it is, right?
Right.
If it's not going to like gobble up gazillion tons of disk space replicating something that already exists for
right.
Small, like if I fired up a KDE calculator and it was installed via Snap and had to reinstall, you know, have all the KDE libraries and everything underneath it in separate Snap files or however that works. I forget. There's like a helper file or whatever, a prerequisites file, I think, for GNOME and one for KDE that the snaps will share that, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Flatpak might do that too. But as long as, you know, I'll deal with that. What I don't like about Snap, and I think Flatpak does the same thing, is that if you just do your traditional mount to see what's mounted on your system, like all those fucking things show up.
Yeah, I've seen that hideous, too.
For such a hideous view of mount. Like right now, mount, I have so many snaps going on. I got GNOME 3, I got GNOME 42, I got GNOME System Monitor. I'm not even running GNOME. Why am I using, why is that running? Why is that mounted and running? I don't know. I got Firefox Snap showing up, GTA Common Thing, Theme, Snap Store, GNOME System Monitor. How many times is that thing going to be running? How many different snaps does that thing need to be running? I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm gonna go Manjaro, man.
Yep.
Do it.
You messed with the AUR before, so you should be able to get everything running you need to.
Oh yeah, I would absolutely go, you know, the only thing holding me back from just using Arch or even Slackware is that I want something different, you know? I want to try something different.
Right.
I want to either be disappointed or blown away. Right?
Yeah.
Well, there are plenty of different versions of Arch, so.
I know.
I mean, it's not like you're gonna install vanilla Arch anymore.
Why not?
Right.
Because there are so many Arch options that don't require hours and hours to do.
Well,
man, I love installing vanilla Arch.
Image for a network installation on Linux from scratch. As I say, you did a presentation on Linux from scratch too, so.
I love setting up. I love choosing all my individual pieces of software that I'm going to install and never use, you know? I like that too.
Right.
Right.
And Garuda's a heavyweight, so there's plenty of stuff there that you'll never use.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, and this is, I never really felt this way on Arch and or Slackware, but I feel like especially with Ubuntu, if I'm not running Unity or the GNOME flavor of Unity or Unity flavor of GNOME, like things just get a little weird sometimes. Like,
yeah,
this,
well,
mounting shit.
Mm-hmm, right. Like, that's the other thing too. I think like, GNOME flavor of Ubuntu, I think, uses Wayland right now. And I think the cinema version goes back to Xorg.
Yeah, I think if you go and choose, when you're at the login screen, depending on your,
yes,
display manager, which is
right,
not the same thing as your desktop environment or
correct
window manager. So certain ones of those, and I'm almost positive it's Ubuntu does this, it'll tell you when you choose what session you want, whether it is Wayland or Xorg.
Yes. Yes, like I've seen that with Kubuntu and the KDM. Ubuntu doesn't use GPM anymore. What's the crap? I forget which one it is.
Is it LightDM?
Yes, that's the one I think it is, yeah.
SDDM?
I forget how you can tell which DMs run.
But you can look at the processes running.
Yeah, I guess I could.
I think you can also see it from your lock screen in some instances.
Yeah, but I don't want to lock my screen and then lose the recording.
Right.
Right. So like here, for example, here I got, I did a PS-CF pipe grep, just grepped DM. And let's see here. GDM is what I'm using, apparently. Which is the GNOME launch thing. So I'm not seeing like DM. So maybe they changed last year at 2210. Well, that's what I'm running right now. I may go ahead and force the issue here up to the Lunar Lobster after the show, maybe.
I'm running light DM.
Yeah, I just checked mine right. Too. And so if you do system control status display manager dot service, it will tell you what it's running. And this is running light DM. Now, I do remember when I was installing all the extra software that I wanted on here, which included KDE and XFCE, I remember getting a pop-up that asked me which display manager I wanted.
Right.
And I didn't pay attention to what was the default, and I remember choosing LightDM. So I don't know if this was using LightDM before I switched.
Oh, before you installed the extra stuff, okay.
But I was pretty sure that that's what Ubuntu was using, LightDM, or I could be mistaken. Now, again, since this has been an in-place upgrade for at least two or three releases of Ubuntu, and that was before I moved it into this laptop and did the update to Kinetic. So, at some point, I don't know if it automatically updates the DM when you do an upgrade, if you already have a DM that you have configured and chosen originally. Like if I had a GNOME or KDE display Case display manager, and this one
KDM,
GNOME,
yeah.
KDM and GDM, whether it would just carry that over indefinitely.
Yeah, you can. Anytime I've had multiple desktops, especially if I use one all-encompassing package you call that will install everything you need for that particular desktop. You know, like
the meta package.
Meta package is like Kubuntu Dash Desktop
5 Plasma or whatever it is.
Something like Kubuntu Dash Desktop on a standard Ubuntu will install everything that Kubuntu Desktop needs. Or the KDE Desktop, I should say.
Yeah.
But those, whenever I installed that usually gave me, I would get that option to choose which display manager I want to use, and you can just stay with the one you've been using. So, I'm not usually one that typically would load more than one desktop, on Ubuntu because I personally think it can get cluttered a lot easier if you do that, you know, cause now you're going to have, the dot files for both of those different desktop versions, in your home directory. You know, that's not a huge deal. But then you have other stuff too. And if there's any incompatibility, like say, I think Cinnamon's also GTK based. So, you know, I don't think there's a different version between Cinnamon and GNOME, you know, so, but if there is, you know, you can run into weird stuff with that too. But generally though, I usually pick one and go with it, you know, and occasionally I will do like a full up install. Like I did that recently when I switched from BOS back to Ubuntu. So just because I wanted to, and I don't have a
forget them. Hello?
Lot like I and that's usually it, you know, so after fresh install, I'm up and going pretty darn quick. So occasionally I'll install other stuff, like I'll install Kura if I wanted to, you know. I think Kura 5.3 is out now. So, but, or maybe SLIC 3R or Slicer, which is what the Prusa Slicer.
I'm running Kura, but I'm running the Arachne engine, Beta 2.
Okay, right, yeah.
And that runs off an older version of Kura. Yeah.
Right.
But still.
But I have no problems with 3, so, but, you know.
Well, I like using the 0.6 millimeter, so I need to be able to print thin walls, and that's kind of what Arachne is for, so.
Yep. But, and that's also kind of one reason, like I'm probably going to be just waiting for our refund back from the IRS, and I should have enough to get another printer.
Oh, you got money back from the government? I had to pay.
Yeah. Well, there's a story behind it, too. My wife technically has two jobs. One of them is taking care of my son, which is paid for by the county. Yeah, she gets paid.
And then the
other
one is taking care of you.
No, the other one is working for data entry for a company by the name of Cass Logistics. So she works in the shipping division, and basically that's what she does, is she'll pay companies shipping bills all day.
I thought she was your official butt wiper.
No, she is. She's my bookkeeper, but she's the one where I have to usually go. She's my bookkeeper. She's the keeper of the household budget.
She knows where the bodies are buried.
Well, probably. If she kill me,
she knows
where she's
going to bury his body.
Yeah. And according to her, no matter what I want, I am going to be buried and not cremated.
Why? So much cheaper to cremate.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Where are you going to get buried?
Let's move off of that morbid subject. I have no idea, and I don't care right now.
Morbid. I guess technically, through the definition of morbid, it would be a morbid conversation, but who cares?
Yes.
Everybody dies.
That raises a question to me, right? Like,
right.
I guess you kind of have to decide well in advance if you're going to be buried, where you're going to be buried, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Mom and Dad didn't.
So,
My mom, a lot of people think too that you can't have a funeral, like, where you can go up to the casket.
Well, of course
you
can.
The person. Well, you can. That's what we did with our mom.
You mean like a viewing?
Yes.
Yeah, before the cremation. You can even have it at the cemetery, and then they just take the casket back and run that whole thing through the incinerator.
We rented the casket.
Well, okay, so hold on. What I'm curious about is if they were buried and not cremated, right?
Right.
And you said they didn't have a burial plot picked out?
Well, in my mom's case, my dad's still living, of course, but my mom's case.
Oh yeah, I don't want to put your dad in the grave, dude.
No, in my mom's case, they had no plans, of course, because, you know, it was completely unexpected.
Right.
All right. And it's something I need to start bringing up to my dad so that we don't have to make decisions he may not want. But in my mom's case, we rented, she was embalmed. They rented the, casket, and then after the funeral was over, they incinerated her and sent my dad a box of ashes.
I'm talking about burial. Look, yeah,
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
Because they sent the box of ashes to dad, and then when in 2016, summer 2016, we took my mom her ashes and we spread them. There is a maze behind the governor's palace at Williamsburg. That's the one time I visited you, by the way. We spread her ashes in the middle of that.
Yeah, but that's not a burial, man. I
agree.
Okay,
that's just what we did.
Like for me, or like for my dad, or for my uncle, or for my grandpa, we make one phone call and we say, DA, handle this for us.
Mm-hmm.
Stick him in that graveyard right there. That's a nice military graveyard. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll take care of that
or,
for you.
Or, I was saying, your case, he could be buried at Arlington.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, but that's like, if you're not military.
That's still, you know, me, my dad, my grandpa, my uncle.
Right.
Most of my cousins, not all of them. Eric's odd. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, at least Patrick was a Marine.
But if you're not military,
the whole
you got to have that up the whole death, don't you?
Right.
You don't have to.
Well, you don't have to. No, no, but no. Yeah.
I mean, if not, they're going to take you for a ride right there on the spot. If you're like, oh well, we got to find you a place to be buried.
Okay, dear. There you go. There's one reason why you don't. You do set it up beforehand is so that you know, you have it. It's a lot less stress for those that are left behind when you pass. So somebody selling a casket on Facebook Marketplace.
No. No, but you need to look at this anyway and look at the price and look what they're selling.
Good lord, that's a huge URL.
Sure as hell is. Jesus.
Is that
a toilet seat? $250?
$250 for a framed toilet seat.
Yeah.
And it looks to be a used framed toilet seat because it's got wear spots on it.
Now, here's an interesting thing.
Well, how the hell do we even get on this topic? Wait, what?
I don't know. On toilet seats? Or death? Let's just change the topic.
I don't know.
But I also want cremated, and my dad wants cremated, so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the funeral and everything, that's it's not for me when I'm dead.
Right. You want folks to go drink and be happy when you pass, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
Party. Celebrate Joe.
Irish wake. That's it. The whole planet. I want everybody on the planet to be drunk all at once.
Now, see, you set that Facebook Marketplace link, and then right below that, for sale here in Grove City, is a 1974 Volkswagen thing.
Same caliber of item.
Yep. But
toilet
that
seat
one
versus
is
a thing, it's a tough call.
Well, considering I think, didn't the thing have like wooden floorboards? it looks nice though. They want $25,000 for it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want that. Usually I find nothing of you. Like, the thing I commonly see on our Facebook marketplaces are things like prom dresses and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so.
Not for you, but, you know, it's always nice to.
Yes.
See somebody be able to get a prom dress for $20 to $50 instead of $1,000, $1,500.
Our church, a few years ago, probably before the mergers, we did a prom dress giveaway where people just donated their old prom dresses and did that. But actually, there's some interesting things on here. There's a Dell PowerEdge R820 server on there for $450. The thing is, though, is servers are always freaking loud, so there's no way I'd get that. A Can-Am Spider, a Can-Am Riker, not the Spider, the Riker, which is the smaller version of the Spider, for a 2023 version year for $11,899. That's not a bad price. Because those Can-Am bikes are kind of expensive. A magic, oh wait, it says magic mouse and office supplies $1. Okay, that's a scam.
What is it?
The Apple magic mouse.
For $1?
I thought you said it's magic mouth at first.
No, mouse.
Maybe it's the original one and it's broken.
It looks like the black one. Actually, wait a minute. Okay, he's got a picture of the box, and the text doesn't look right at all.
Did you bought a magic mouse, didn't you, Joe?
I did. I have one for my Mac.
Why? You know what? I never use mice anymore. Well, I'm a liar. With this one desktop.
You use the trackpad that you came with your Mac, right? Your Mac laptop, right?
Or on trackpad on all my systems. Now, if I was playing a first person shooter, if I was playing a game, I would rather have a keyboard and a mouse.
Mac Mini Core 2 Duo for $75. That's a little slow.
Little slow, man. You would have jumped at that a few years ago.
Yeah. Core 2, well, that's, what, 10 years now, at least. The original Core 2. It's amazing how far we've come in such a short time period.
Yeah, and you know, what I'll say is, if you don't keep up with the constant evolution of hardware and you run older systems, you know, like I do, or smaller systems, it surprises me, one, how well they seem to still hold up for a large portion of tasks that don't involve, like, playing video games. Because that really stretches the system. Like, I would even say audio editing and video editing are... Yeah, if you had the latest and greatest, it's going to be able to do it a lot faster. But still, I mean, that's... When you got that system, you were saying how much better it was than the previous one.
Right.
And it hasn't seemed to change that much. Yet, at the same time, I also recognize... There still seems to be a few things that I come around to saying, why is this so freaking slow?
It's because your machine's 10 years old.
And, like, I feel like, I feel like that every time I change the system, Audacity runs slower. Now, granted, it could be because I went from the SSD to the spinning drive, but yet when I took this other drive, it just seems to be even slower than the other spinning drive was, yet it has tons more space and everything on it, which I know is not at all.
It's even amazing too. Well, I was gonna say it's even amazing too. With like I just upgraded the disk on my Windows laptop, my personal one, and I went from a 512 to a 1 terabyte. But I went from like an Intel branded SSD to a Samsung one. It is amazing how much faster that laptop is now, and that tells me a couple things. One, Asus put crap drives in their laptops, which is very possible. Or two, maybe that hard drive, that SSD in my laptop was bad for a lot longer than I really realized, and it was just working, but I don't know. But it's amazing how much faster that machine is today. You know, and it's only not, I mean, it'll be a couple years this coming November. So, but.
And maybe my impression is faulty and skewed because I'm using a newer system for work. But, like I said, it just seems that Audacity, as I move through different systems, seems to be getting a lot broken.
That your Mac for work is that an M series chip in it right now? The Apple Silicon, or is it an Intel chip?
It's an Intel chip.
Okay.
It's not like it's 2000.
Probably 2019, 2020.
I think it's 2019.
Right. So you'll be coming up for replacement here before too much longer.
Well, we'll see. I mean, aside from the login thing that I described at the beginning, it's not, it still runs perfectly fine for what I need to do on a day to day basis.
I haven't really
chapped it out yet, and I have like a gazillion tabs open sometimes, and I'm running Vagrant and other things going on, and a whole bunch of stuff.
See, it's kind of like I kind of got cheated a little bit because they just recently changed. It used to be laptops in your company phone was on a 2-year replacement cycle. Okay. 2 years up, you can get a new laptop and a new phone. Okay. My new phone or my iPhone, which is my work phone, when it came up originally for replacement, the only phone they were offering in that would have been a replacement would be another iPhone 11. So I'm like, it's not fucking worth it, you know? So I held on to it. And then like, either last fall or maybe early this winter, I went, we use a company by the name of MDSL. They manage all the corporate phones for us so that we don't have to. All right. And, I go back in there and it says, you're not due for replacement for 800 days. And I'm like, wait a minute. I was already due for replacement. So. Anyway, I gotta use my iPhone 11, which is now, see, the iPhone 15 is gonna come out this fall probably, so that's gonna be 4 different phone versions behind, which, I will say with Apple hardware is not as big a deal as it is with some Android hardware, you know? But, I don't know, I question, well, that, and here's the other thing I've been kind of thinking about too, because there's been more rumors coming out about the next iPhone. There always is. All right. And they're like saying things like, it's going to have this new sensor or it's going to have this much thinner bezels. And I'm like, all that stuff is just boring to me. You know, even on Android phones to a lesser extent, that stuff is kind of boring to me. And I just don't, you know, doesn't mean I'm not going to use it anymore. It just means it's like, I'm like, it's going to take a lot for me to impress upon me, when my phone and my equipment is acceptable, you know, is it not worth the hassle of upgrading it? That's the thing on some cases. You know, cause then you always have to go through reset your, like, we use Okta. So it has the Okta app on it. So, you know, we get that all the time. I get 5 or 6 of them damn prompts every day. You know, and, is it worth dealing with switching all that crap over for a marginally faster phone? And in a lot of cases, it's no. So, in Dan's case, it's always no.
I'm still on the Note 10 Plus, and then,
right.
You know, I wouldn't mind switching to something that actually had 5G, but
has it? Well, yours didn't have 5G.
No, mine's
you didn't
not
buy the 5G one. Okay.
Yeah.
But do you have the, like, did they make Android 13 for that version? I don't think they did they?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention during the updates.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does the things that I want it to. It's still fast. It's still got a decent screen. Right. I got a little bit of screen burn in, so but I can get that replaced on the using the insurance.
Yep.
Just the screen. And I don't see the point right now in getting another payment.
Yeah. And that's reasonable, I think, with the economy the way it is.
Exactly.
So... But that's like, well, and see, and this is the one thing, like, I'm telling my wife, oh, I want a new 3D printer. And she's like, well, you can get rid of your old one, right? I'm like, no, the old one still works. You know, when I have two really decent printers, you know, that kind of doubles my output, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Right. Are you constantly, like, always printing with your one printer?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on the time of the year.
Then do you really have a use for two printers? Being able to print out twice as much when you're going to be printing out the exact same volume of nothing?
It just depends. Like I said, it's all in the time of year. Because I do like to, like, especially Christmas time, I do like to make things for people to give to people. That's an easy Christmas gift, you know.
So what you're saying is you just need to optimize your time the rest of the year and be printing more regularly.
Yes. Yes. And I think also, too, it's going to open me up for more tinkering. So a good example would be is I can put the larger nozzle on my CR10 Mini, and I still have a regular 0.4 on the new printer, whatever it is, you know. Or... do I want to bite the bullet and spend more money on the new Prusa Mark IV, which was just announced today? I think it was today or yesterday, which is that starts at $1,099. So that's something to think about, you know.
Shit, gold bricks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, see, that's the other thing too. You know, now I will say this. It does have some really, really nice updates to it, which is probably why they took forever to make the Mark IV. They're saying that the Mark IV will consistently deliver a perfectly smooth first layer, thanks to the new load cell sensor, has a next generation extruder on it, 32-bit connected platform, which most any new ish printer has a 32-bit board now. Remote printing.
Yeah, anything you can buy now should have a 32-bit usually does, board on it.
Right. Unless you're buying an older model, like an older Ender 3.
Yeah.
You know,
and then you have to get kind of unlucky.
Right. But you got remote printing, quick swap nozzles, customizable UI with one-click printing option, you know, and all this other stuff, all this really, really nice stuff. And I'm like, is that worth, like, the one I've been looking at, which is the CR10 Smart, which has automatic bed leveling, double Z screws, you know, which is honestly very comparable. In fact, in many ways, better construction, because I think the Prusa is still made out of injection molded plastic in a lot of cases, I think, and some 3D printed stuff. So... and the Creality one has aluminum rails, stiffening brackets. It has some things that the Prusa doesn't have, and it's only $399. I mean, there are some things, like, I would love to have a lot of the options that they have on this new Prusa Mark IV, but it's like, is it really worth $600 more to me? In my opinion, no. I mean, the one kind of nice thing is it does have quick swap nozzles. So basically you have one nozzle mounted. It's like mounted on a tube. You open up the extruder, pull that one out, put the new one in, and you've got the bigger nozzle, you know, or a whole bunch of other, you know, they're not the first ones to do stuff like that. Ultimaker's been doing that for years. But Ultimaker is also a $3,000 or more printer, depending on which one you get. So this is like kind of the way I describe it. I think Creality and Enders are kind of like the Chevys. Prusa is probably more like maybe a Porsche. And then the Ferraris is the Ultimaker, you know. But not to bring Creality down or anything, is because their stuff is really good too nowadays. So it's just like, you know.
Yeah, and they have, you know, different levels of stuff that you can buy.
Correct. I mean, and then, I mean, they make so many models of printer, it's like, you know, Prusa makes two, maybe.
And you can add things.
Yes.
Later on. So you don't get the one with the automatic bed leveling this time, but you can add that later on.
Yep. One thing I did notice about this CR10 Smart that I'm probably going to end up with is, unlike my CR10 Mini, which is very similar to the first CR10, it's just smaller bed, they crammed like the circuit board, power supply, and the LCD and the controllers all into this external unit. But it's very hard to work on. Like when I went to swap that board out when I was living in the apartment, it didn't take that long, but it was a pain in the ass because of how tight everything was. You know, I had to kind of do some contortions with my fingers to get everything hooked up.
Did you say
that
it was a pain in the ass because of how tight everything was?
Yes.
And you had to really work your fingers in there?
Yeah. Making the sex joke. I get it. Anyway,
Well, you were making the sex joke. I was just pointing it out.
No, you were turning into it one, but, the Smart isn't like that at all. Basically, the one thing I'm not sure about is I've seen reviews of it, and they just lift up, and the board's just exposed on the bottom, which I'm not sure if that's how it really is or if they've got a cover on it. It wouldn't bother me either way. But either way, though, it's the board's just right there, and there's lots of space around the board. It's nowhere near as problematic to work with that board, you know, to unplug everything on it, maybe replace the board if the board decides it's going to give up the ghost. So, and there's a lot more room for ventilation underneath of it, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to turn your sex joke into a sex joke. And he left.
I was going to say, was he talking, but I'm not hearing him?
I was, and I got kicked off for some reason.
Yeah, we kicked you out for all the sex jokes.
Going to say, because I thought it was me.
It's like the same thing happened last week. Yeah, it has happened before. It's weird. It's like all of a sudden I see it was disconnected. I'm like, what the hell?
Yep.
Granted, it could be because I'm using this. See, and then, you know, it goes talking about hardware. I'm using a 10-year-old laptop tonight, probably. 10-year-old?
I'm
trying to think. No, this is the second one I got, so let's see.
Is that the one with the updated SSD?
No, this is my old YogaBook 710 that I'm using right now. And I had the Dell that I had that I bought right after I came to Illusion in 2014-ish, so this is either 16 or 17, 2017, somewhere around there. Okay, so it's not 10-year-old, but it's still fairly old. In laptop standards, when you think about
it's not a spring chicken.
No. So, I mean, it's about 4 or 5 years old. So, but generally it works fine. And my same thing goes with my Surface Pro 6, which is, you know, technically Microsoft doesn't support it anymore, but it's running the latest version of Windows on it. Works just fine. Does everything I need it to do. Just slower. You know. It'll run Lightroom just fine. I've ran Lightroom on it quite a while now.
But for Linux enthusiasts, you tend to run a lot of Windows and Mac.
Well, no, not all. You know,
I've
got a fair mix. Yeah, I got a fair mix.
You just run what works, right?
Basically. I mean, that's the thing. The thing is if I didn't, I have almost always have two Windows machines for personal stuff because if one of them goes down, I still want to be able to do the job I need to do for church. So, and since they haven't made Creative Cloud run on Linux, I don't really have too much of an option. You know, I can run Mac, and I probably the next machine I get will be a Mac just because I'm really tired of Windows. But yeah, also for the same reason why Dan wants to try another Linux distro, because he gets tired of what he's running and wants to try something new. So
just wants to be able to tell everybody how he runs Arch.
Yeah.
What I figured.
But
who wouldn't want to run Arch?
It's a common problem amongst people that run Arch, that they like to, you know, tell people how much that they run Arch.
No, it's not as bad as those Gen 2 ricers.
Well, sometimes it gets pretty bad with the Slack guys, too. I run Slack, ask me how.
Yes, I'm running a boot system that almost nobody uses anymore. Or, I'm sorry, internet system,
you?
My bad.
Slack is wonderful.
We didn't say it wasn't wonderful, we just said we're tired of hearing about it.
Right. No, I remember when this show started, that's all y'all were talking about was Slack this, Slack that, Slack packages, and all that stuff.
Slack is the way of the future. The year of the Slack desktop.
All three of you were in that, right? And then Ubuntu came out, and oh my god, it was such a great thing. I agree. It is a great thing.
It was a great thing.
Right. And then what do we all admin at work? Probably a RPM-based distro of some sort, either Red Hat, CentOS, or... Oh, what's the other one? Rocky. Not Rocky. Although Rocky would be pretty
Scientific?
Awesome.
Scientific?
Scientific, it's another one, yeah.
I don't...
What are you using at work?
We're using Alpha.
Shit, that's what I'm using at work.
That's it, shit. No. What's that one?
Alpon.
That's it. That's the one. Thank you.
Yeah, I use we use mostly Alpon.
But it's still an RPM based. Yeah, it's an RPM. Oh, you use Ubuntu too? Okay.
Well, let me preface that.
Right.
We're not running it. It's what VIP runs. But when we have to do all our testing and the CI pipeline, all that is done under Ubuntu.
Okay.
And
honestly, that makes sense, you know.
But we used to use CentOS, and we used to build our main images with CentOS, and then we have since switched to
Alpine.
When we moved to containers, that we were on. Actually, I think it was a Debian container before. That's right. What am
right.
I thinking? I built the damn thing. It was Debian. I believe.
Yeah, independent, non-commercial, general-purpose Linux distro. You design for power users who appreciate security, simplicity, and efficiency.
Wait, what's this?
Alpine. That's what's on their about page.
Yeah. It is nice. Could have compatibility problems, so. I think the only time we ran into that
was couch games was a problem.
Does that use RPM though?
Couch base?
No, Alpine. What's its
package? No, Alpine has its own package name.
Oh, okay. So there you go. There's your compatibility issues.
We didn't need to install Couchbase. We just needed the Couchbase library.
Right.
And that was built in GCC, and it just so happened to not work well with whatever the compiler's called. I can't remember what it's called now.
GCC?
What?
GCC?
No, Alpine doesn't use GCC. I'm gonna say MC. What is it?
That's interesting. Well, Linux itself is gonna, you know, they're adding what, Rust as a kernel language now too. So kernel languages, like it's like compiling Linux kernels, which was what we did just 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, it's not the compiler. Is it the compiler? No, that's right. It's glibc. It doesn't use GNU's libc.
That's not compiler. That's the C library.
It's like the heart of, yeah. So,
right.
There's this like real edge case, compatibility that, was preventing us from using the Couchbase library. It's not, yeah, it's, it doesn't use glibc, it uses muscle. M-U-S-L. That was the problem. Compiler. Where did I get that?
I don't know, man.
We gotta start wrapping up the show. It's after 10.
Yeah, I guess it is getting, yeah. It's getting late.
Joe's passing out.
He's becoming a pumpkin.
So, Joel,
what's that, guys? I fell asleep.
Joel, you'll be late.
I'll be what?
Show before your birth. No, there won't be.
No. It's after my birthday. It's the 5th.
Yeah, your birthday's what, Tuesday?
Yep.
Yeah, and the show's on Wednesday. So, you got plans for your birthday?
I think we're gonna go to Texas Roadhouse for dinner on Sunday or Saturday. I don't know which day yet. Yeah. And then, here's the other thing too, is Luke, we asked him, well, what do you want for birthday? He's like, he wants another 3DS XL. I'm like, they don't make them anymore. He's like, well,
doesn't mean you can't buy them.
Well, that's, well, until I started looking, yeah, it, about the only place I'm finding anything is eBay. Like, I looked on,
pick up a new, that, the new is actually a model.
Right.
A new 3DS XL.
That's what he has. All right. So what I think I am going to do, actually probably, here in a bit, I'm going to order a spare battery for its existing one and see if I can resuscitate it. Because I started looking at getting, a new 3DS XL. GameStop listed them, but they had none in stock. And they were right around, between 150 and 180, depending on, whether you got a used one or a refurbished one, so on and so forth. I went on Amazon and they're going for over $300. And I'm like, that's more than we paid for it. So, and eBay has some more reasonable prices, but, that's what happens when he always hops on game systems after they're really old. same thing happened with the Wii U. The Wii U we bought
Get
a Wii
PSP.
U in 2020. Yeah, get him a PSP. That's even worse, dude.
Oh, no, no. You can get PSPs really, well, you know, not like cheap, right. But a whole lot cheaper than the 3DS XL.
Well, he plays Animal Crossing, and you're not playing that on a PSP.
Oh, you'll be surprised what you can play on the PSP.
Well, legally, I'm saying.
Legally?
Yes.
Well, then you would be surprised what you can play on the 3DS XL.
Well, they just shut the eShop down, too, on those, so there's no
downside. That's why you load everything illegally. That's exactly why you load everything illegally.
But, and it just got me thinking, too, when we were at the game store, I'm like, what the hell else does Nintendo have other than a Switch now? Nothing. I mean, the latest one they brought out was the OLED Switch, and it's not that different than the original Switch.
Right, it's just a different screen.
Are they working on anything else?
Another Switch?
I mean, they got the PS5s out now, and if you can find one. And the Xbox Series X is out. And
a new version of the PS Vita. That's what they're working on. But why would they work on that when they have the Switch?
Yeah, I guess. But it's just like, you know, how long is the Switch going to be a popular system, you know?
How long was the Vita a popular system?
Not very.
Actually, it's still a popular system.
Yes, yeah, you can still buy them, you know. But... Ow!
I think,
bite me, cat.
I think Nintendo's Switch's popularity has been further
starting to wane
by the partnership that they semi went in with Microsoft a few years ago. That's paying out in spades right now. Because
we got a new Zelda game coming, I think, don't they?
Well, yeah, they do, but there's an easy pipeline for just. It seems like there's an easy pipeline for just, you know, creating a game in Windows for Xbox that could also be ported to Nintendo Switch really easily. Like, there's a ton of that going on those games.
Right.
So now I think that's what's further bolstering. Plus, aside from the Steam Deck, there really is no other handheld on the market.
No. And the Steam Deck and the Switch, you know.
Mainstream. Because there's still like,
Right.
Yeah, you go skipping into any
1GX
middle school, and they ain't going to want the 1GX, man. They're going to want this.
No. No, they're going to want
a
Switch.
But I hear what you're saying, Joe. I don't.
I just Googled it. It said, new Nintendo systems coming. And it came up with a report on GameSpot says the report went on to say that a next generation Nintendo console will launch towards the end of 2024.
It'll be a handheld.
It'll probably be based on the Switch.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to step up their game if they want to stay competitive with the Switch.
They need new hardware, to be honest, because the Switch is starting to age fairly. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. It's still a great system. I love it. It's one of my favorites that I've ever had because I actually play it more than any. Like, I've played it more than the Xbox 360 already that we had years ago.
What I meant to say was they're going to have to do something in order to be competitive with the Steam.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're going to have to up their hardware game on the Switch to make it.
Are they going to jump into VR again, or did the VR boy screw them so much on that?
Yeah,
but
I don't know if they consider the Steam Deck to be actual like competition for the Switch because it's two entirely different, you know, markets.
Yeah, so, yes. I was gonna say that, Joe.
Right.
Say, part of me sitting here thinking that same audience that is playing the Steam Deck. Probably also had a Switch.
Yes,
but not
probably.
Vice versa. Because
correct.
Well, what's the Switch run new price?
Like what,
450, I think?
Depends which one.
It's up there in price with the Steam Deck. And the Steam Deck, I'm sorry, is more powerful. The only thing the Switch has is the ecosystem.
Correct.
All right, here's the thing I wonder, right? Okay? And I have no nothing to back this up yet, right? But
right.
Kids. We grew up and we had Windows, right?
Mm-hmm, and Atari. Like, yeah.
We had the consoles, but there was Windows. Computer gaming was Windows. And
depends on your age, because then you could also say computer gaming was DOS.
After 1985, okay? 1985. What I'm saying is there's been an evolution for computer games to
right into Windows?
Steam. Like, right. Like that whole thing, Windows Steam. As people aren't buying desktops and laptops, they're more using, well, laptops for one, but kids are more getting
mobile devices,
Chromebooks. They're not necessarily using desktop systems like that anymore.
I agree. A lot of people, their only devices. Yeah, a lot of people, their only device is their phone.
Right. So they're not, like, we had a clear-cut path. You could look back through the past, clear-cut path, straight into Steam, right? That makes obvious sense. But, so Steam Deck makes sense for that audience. But this generation and, like, even a little before them, that didn't really, they've been using their phones and stuff, not desktops. I wonder how that's going to impact stuff going forward. I can guarantee you, like, 90% of the kids and my wife, where my wife teaches, probably have no idea what the fuck a Steam Deck is.
Yeah, yep, maybe. True. But you gotta remember, it's the same thing we've been waiting for the last decade with convergence. I mean, we want to be able to have our desktop in our pocket as our phone and be able to just hook that up to a screen and be able to do everything like, you know, it was a full-on system. So
that's
we're heading in the future. Yeah, I would too, but we need a bit more processing power with a little less power consumption.
Right. So here, you know, these Switch prices here, it's going to depend on what you get. The Switch Lite, which is the one that's only handheld, can't hook it to a TV, is $199. The OLED Switch is $339.
Which is still less than the Steam Deck.
Correct. And the original Switch that originally came out, how many years ago now? Is $299. Okay, I have that one. You know, cause I didn't care about the OLED. Did I want the OLED and would I have gotten it when I did get those last year? Yeah, but they didn't have any in stock. So, you know, and I buy them, my primary style of game on them isn't any of the modern stuff. I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm playing Atari stuff, you know, because there's a ton of that on there, and that's the kind of stuff I like, you know.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Switch specifically for retro gaming that you can put on it, and the fact that the only place that you can get the redone versions of GTA, is on the Switch. The GTA remastered stuff is all on Switch, so
yeah, on the download store. So, yep. So we'll see what Nintendo does here in 2024, which is closer than we think. It's going to be as exciting though. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah. Steam's talking about, the Steam Deck, it's going to be extremely iterative if they bring out anything.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to be a huge, massive upgrade or anything like that.
Well, and the Steam Deck isn't the only Steam box that's out there. You got other ones too. They're literally consoles.
Sort of.
Yep.
Sort of.
Kind of, yeah. There's kind not that of. Many of them, but, you know, yeah. they're there.
Like we said, like the A and Neo stuff and the stuff like that, but you know, they're less known, they're more expensive, and I don't think that they really process all that much better.
No.
We gotta wrap this up, man.
Yeah, we do.
We're really late. Alright. Well, anyway, happy birthday, Joel.
We'll see you today. Happy Thank you.
Birthday. Happy birthday, Joel.
You have a great week, Joe.
I'm gonna try.
And here we are, your friends.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I didn't talk about
it. I don't know.
I'll save it for next week. Galaxy.
Galaxy what?
We have to wait till next week, though.
That's fine.
We're gonna stop this recording.
Stop the recording.
Did you have the hib?
No. No hib. No COVID.
Just a cold?
Flu or something. The whole house had it.
Who started it?
My eldest daughter works at Dollar Tree.
Uh-oh.
She brought that crap home, and, like, everybody got sick. I spent the week going back and forth between shivering and sweating.
Nice.
Oh, no. Nope. It was not that.
What does Joel have to say? Wait, he's not even here yet, is he?
Yeah, he's not here.
All right, there he is. No, he's not.
What's that noise coming from?
What noise?
High-pitched womp, womp, womp.
I hear it too.
Tell me if it goes away.
It's less, much less.
Well, I didn't do anything yet. Hold on. All right. So tell me if it goes away. Come on. Tell me if it goes away now.
Yes, it's gone.
It's gone.
Is it back now?
Yeah, it's just dim.
Is that better?
Yes.
Is that worse?
Yes.
How is that happening?
Is Some that kind of better? Feedback, because when you're not talking, it builds back up. No, it's there.
Well, I'm starting to hear it too. Wait a second. That's
Dennis. Okay. Are you hearing it now?
No, not at all.
Tell me if you start hearing it again.
Okay. Yeah. I hear it.
What is that? Man, it's just picking everything up. Okay, hopefully that's a little better.
No.
No.
That's a little better.
Still there. I didn't even do anything.
See, what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
I don't know.
I'm hearing it now.
Oh my goodness. Are you hearing it now?
Yes. I don't hear it now. Cinnamon.
Oh, does she taste good?
That's what he said. He said cinnamon she's his flavor. Favorite spice.
Well, that's cool. Good for you, Joel.
No.
Is that where you're spending your money these days?
No, sir.
You call it the gym?
Yeah, yeah. It does get the heart rate up, which is, you know,
31
helps
days.
Burn calories.
31 days at the strip
and
club?
He said cinnamon is why he can't afford the Prusa Mark IV.
No. That's not why. It's because they want $1,000 for it, and it's also got 3 to 4 week lead time.
But that's like a third of what you paid cinnamon last month.
No, last month? If it's cinnamon gym, then I only pay $20.
I thought Planet Fitness up their price to $24.99.
Yeah, $5. Yeah. Okay, now I'm up here, so you have to sit there, don't you?
So, did they install like a stripper pole at Planet Fitness or something? That wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me either.
I guess you can't make moaning sounds when you're spinning on it, though, right? Because it'll trip the lug alarm.
Lunk alarm? Yeah,
is that what it's called? The lunk alarm?
That is what it's called. The lunk alarm.
The lunk alarm.
Joel, have you ever tripped the lunk alarm?
Not on purpose.
Yeah, but have you? That's the question. Nobody does it on purpose. Well, okay, some people do it on purpose.
No. I'm was disappointed. My normal Tuesday show, I guess they didn't have a show on Monday, so it wasn't on Hulu when I got to the gym yesterday, but The Mandalorian was.
Am I caught? Let me check. I don't know if I'm caught up on.
Yeah, today's came out. It was.
Well, then I'm definitely not caught up.
Yeah.
With today's.
I think, not as good as last week's, but not bad.
Yeah, last week's was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling that they're setting up, Bo to, you know, be in charge again.
Boba?
Bo-Katan.
Oh, yeah. Kind of, yes. I think you're right. There is one kind of big thing in this week's episode, but you know, don't want to spoil it.
I don't want you to spoil it either. I didn't watch it yet.
You didn't watch any of it yet, have you?
No, I've watched, I'm all caught up except for today. I don't have time to watch it during the day, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I watch them with my wife, so.
Well, that was my day today, you know, I didn't have enough time to watch. Yeah, there are days where, they're slow, but like today we had, first thing off the shot, we had two clients that were down. One that was kind of not down, but just our test was failing. And the other one, completely lost their connection to the VPN. So they were down all day for the most part.
I got asked to, out from work.
To what?
To write a class for seniors in high school. Just about, proper online etiquette and security. How to keep yourself safe. The stuff that they should teach you in your high school classes.
Why did they ask you to do that? Like, is this through work or?
No, it's not through work. It's because, you remember when I ran for school board? There's a couple of the current, school board nominees that asked me to write it. They also know that I have experience, you know, podcasting, so I can actually write it and record it and disseminate it on YouTube if need be.
There you go.
If it doesn't go anywhere else, I can still get that done.
Cool. Luke is getting himself a job. He's going to be a DoorDasher.
And then he's going to catch something and bring it home, just like mine did.
I hope not.
After doing DoorDash?
Probably. Well, considering his best customer is going to be home.
Yeah.
That's where all the profit's gonna go. It's just him picking up Joel's order.
No.
Wait, if he was your DoorDash driver, Joel, would you tip him?
I always tip my driver.
Well, would you tip your son?
Yes.
Would you tip him the usual amount or would you give him more or less?
Usual amount, probably.
There you go.
That's like, what are they, I need to look. I did tip, but, I stopped at Starbucks on the way home and, from the gym this morning. I rarely get one of their breakfast sandwiches, but I did this morning and it was good.
Wait a minute.
And bacon, and the cheese was Gouda. It's pretty good.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Yes, the hum. It's like your washer.
No. Oh, how can I fix that? Hold on a second.
Yeah, it's like your washer going, is what I hear. Or a furnace. Or a fan. I gotta go renew my tags this weekend. Because my birthday is Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Mm-hmm. 52.
Okay, you can't hear that now, right?
The hum.
All I hear
hum,
is your
hum.
Keyboard.
And I heard a keyboard too, yeah.
Can you hear my keyboard now?
Yes.
Oh my god. Why is this so sensitive?
Very deep. Like, is your microphone on a stand or is it just sitting on top of the
It's on a table here on a stand.
With a shock mount?
And I put
I put a folded up shirt under it, and it's still picking up.
Oh.
Like, I don't think it's picking up the vibrations now. I think it's just picking up the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Let me see. Maybe, maybe.
Could be a fan from their laptop, maybe.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I forget how to do this now.
How to adjust your gain?
Oh, that's right, it's that one. Okay, testing. Oh, maybe I should drop this down. How's that? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
No.
Wait, is that a yes or a no?
That was a rumble, rumble, rumble. Much less. Not as overpowering as it was.
How about now?
About the same.
Are you typing?
Yeah.
I don't hear nothing.
Wait, Joe hears it, but Joel doesn't.
I have a headset. I do too, all but...
Right. How's that? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, you're dim, but I cannot hear your keyboard if you're typing. You got nothing
correct.
There.
Alright, here's my keyboard. Can you hear that?
No.
Can you hear it now?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Am I really dim?
You're lower than usual.
Is that any better?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
about right. No, I don't hear it.
Yes.
Wait, you can hear the keyboard?
Look, I got the Razer Naris, and Razer likes to make it so that any bass vibrates your skull.
That's why. I got a Logitech H600, and I don't hear, well, that and, you know, older ears.
Alright, well, I'll just have to make sure that I'm mute when I'm not talking. You can probably hear all this now, can't you? As I'm typing around.
I can hear a little bit. But I'm also listening for it. If I weren't listening for it, I probably wouldn't even notice it.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh.
You do too.
I'm trying to figure out what all I want to put into it, but I'm thinking what VPNs, encryption for your hard drives,
MFA,
multi-factor authentication, and
stay off email.
Kind of what?
Yeah,
stay off email.
Not to click anything that anybody sends you, even if it looks like it's from your bank. Always, same thing with phone calls. If your bank calls you, do not respond with any personal information. Turn around, call your bank.
Or like this week, I got a spam call. I said hello, and I heard the boop. That's a telltale. You hear that boop? It's usually bad.
And then. Also,
so then I say, well, who is this? And they're like, it's the alerts division from Social Security Administration. I'm like, goodbye.
I always tell them, call me again in 20 years.
Microsoft?
Hello, this is John from Microsoft.
I haven't gotten that one in a long time. I used to get that one a lot. Your computer is not updating the way that it should be. And you're like, oh, yeah, what I mean. It's like one of them. Oh yeah?
Right.
Which one? One of them that's running Windows.
Right.
Okay. I don't have any of those. But yeah, and then also like a password manager of some kind and what to look for
and not LastPass.
In a password. Yeah, not LastPass, like KeePass or something else that has it all locally. And then, you know, the dangers associated with that as well, because you lose one password, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Dead then.
You lose everything.
And
you know, you have to explain
should...
that multi-factor authentication is not
yes.
perfect, but it's better than nothing.
That's right. I think there's another one. Another thing you might want to do is like how do you verify something you see on the internet? You know, you see somebody says something that sounds like it could be right, but it's usually not.
Like so and so died.
Right.
Like how many times did V. Arthur die before she died?
Or Abe Vigoda. Yeah. Abe Vigoda was literally, they made a website for it. And he finally died in 2016.
Ay, 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 ay.
Mm-hmm. My cat's napping next to me, Dan. He's too cute. I'm ready to go. Whenever you are.
This is going to be 998.
Wait, there's a show?
Yep.
I hope so.
There wasn't one last week.
I got content, so that's good.
This is 998.
And not what I ate for dinner.
What'd you eat for dinner?
We went to O'Charlie's for Luke's birthday.
Mm.
It's Luke's birthday today?
Happy birthday, Luke.
Yeah, he's 24.
Just now getting a job?
Happy birthday to Luke.
Yeah, I had lobster quesadillas. Yes,
lobster
they are.
Quesadillas, that sounds disgusting.
It's actually quite delicious, because I like lobster.
Oh, I like lobster too, and I love quesadillas, but I don't see the fusion there.
Yeah, I mean, was it as good as like a chicken one? I don't know. About the same, I think. It was that, or I ordered the thing I usually get when I get there, and that's the seafood sampler, which has just sun.
Sounds like a needless mix of seafood and Mexican food. It really does.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna have the staying power, no. Cause it's obvious they brought this thing out, because it's Lent, you know.
Oh.
And Catholics don't eat meat. At least one day of the week. It was usually Friday, I think. But, you know, I'm not Catholic. I eat meat all the time. So.
Yeah, we know you love the meat.
Quarter pound meat.
Dun, dun, dun.
Rah, rah, rah. So, Ubuntu cinnamon is an official Ubuntu flavor now.
That's that one made by that, like, 14-year-old kid?
I don't know. But there you go. Basically takes a Linux desktop and puts it into an Ubuntu remix.
Oh, I've seen Cinnamon.
Of course you have.
Cinnamon Ubuntu, and we interviewed the developer for it.
Yep. But the strange thing, well, we'll talk about it on the show.
All right.
As soon as Dan's ready.
Yeah. Let's fire this off. Get it going. Get it going.
So yes, wait. Sir. Wasting around. Here we go.